Hey everyone, I'm Jay.
I'm Sophia.
And I'm Scott, and welcome to Witches Betwixt.
Today we're going to be talking about music, sounds, noises. Music and magic.
Yep.
I have so much to say about this, and yet I do not know where to even begin because this branches off in so many different directions for me. So why don't one of you guys kind of take the lead, and I think I'll kind of
I
jump
guess,
in.
all right, since I was the one who suggested it, I'll go first. And so I suggested this topic, mostly it came to mind because I was trying to think of a topic for tonight, but also because I know I keep talking about my garden a lot, but it's one of the things I like to do when I'm sitting and relaxing in my new garden space is to listen to folk music and kind of pagan folk music and stuff. And I kind of do that as an act of devotion to the spirits of the plants. And I kind of actively kind of commune with them and kind of let them know that I'm playing this music to honor them, to thank them for, growing so well and for being in my space and that kind of thing. So I kind of use been using music a lot as a kind of offering. So it kind of just made me think, you know what? Why not kind of delve into music and magic and spirit work and ritual?
I never thought of music as an offering before until, like, you mentioned it just now, and I'm like, that makes so much sense, and I don't know why I
Oh yeah,
haven't been doing
totally.
that.
I actually use it in a very similar way, but I'm gonna like let Scott have the floor before I jump in because I have a ton to say.
I usually use, like, physical things as offerings. I never really thought about something like music.
I mean, like I always realize, like you know, like there's a practice by Jason Miller that I like to do. And the reason I'm trying to say this is like just to show like the variation of offering, right? Like he talks about in I believe it's his protection and reversal magic book that you create friction between your hands, rubbing them back and forth quickly, and as you're releasing them, as when you pull them apart and you feel that heat, right? As that heat disperses, you visualize things like you can visualize like a whole turkey, or you visualize incense, or whatever, and you kind of use your energy to kind of represent the offering. You can visualize it as like gold, or money or what have you. And he kind of suggested that as kind of in between offerings kind of thing, like still give physical objects, but it was a nice way to kind of offer your energy.
That's actually really cool. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah. I thought so. Like, what I'm trying to get at is that there are so many ways that you could, like, be making an offering. And I think, I have no musical capabilities whatsoever. I do have a frame drum that I like to do that I like to use for ritual and ceremony, but it's nothing fancy. I just do like pretty much a steady boom, 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 just to reach altered state.
Yeah, I have a djembe, and I really like that. I kind of want to get a bigger one because I want like a deeper, bassier tone. But I really bought it because I was going to the Inner Path, or Hearth's Home, meetings and like their Sabbats and stuff. And they had a group of drummers. It was kind of like a drop in, drop out kind of thing. But it felt very much to me like I feel like the drummers are the pagan version of the church choir. So like the drummers at ritual. And so I was like, huh, well, I've never been able to be in the church choir, so maybe I can join the pagan drum group.
That's really cool. There's actually an in if in the ATRs, being a drummer in voodoo, in Haitian voodoo, it's a really sacred position to have, so that's pretty cool.
Is there anything else that you kind of wanted to like lead in with about music or?
I mean, like, I feel like I'll have more to say as we keep going.
So the first thing I think about is sometimes my approach to finding pagan music was a little bit different than I think than some people, because I think some people look for it for like meditation and stuff like that. My first search for like pagan oriented music was actually for pagan rock bands, which led me to a lot of 80s goth bands. What is it? Susie Sue and the Banshees. That one always popped up. And I think it's pronounced Susie Sue. I feel like someone's going to slap me for mispronouncing it. I think it's right.
It's Susie Sue.
Susie Sue and the Banshees. And Incubus Succubus.
The Succubus.
Yeah.
And at first, I listened to Incubus Succubus, and I was like, what is this? It's the drum machine, because it's like the same drum machine beat in like all of their songs, but it really grew on me after a while, and I was like a huge like Incubus Succubus fan. And then I discovered that a couple modern rock artists that I like Sully Erna from Godsmack is actually a Wiccan, and had Laurie Cabot's Coven in the video for Voodoo.
He's Cabot Ken tradition. He's initiated by her.
Yeah, because he's up in, they're from Boston, so they're very close to Salem and that whole crowd. That makes sense.
So, fun fact, I'm pretty sure Susie Sue would get cancelled in modern days.
I don't actually know much about Susie Sue and the Banshees. I never really listened, I never really looked up anything. I was kind of drawn toward Incubus Succubus, but just Susie Sue and the Banshees is just... It's the two bands that would pop up. It'd be Susie Sue and the Banshees and then Incubus Succubus.
I'll say my piece. I've always felt a little uncomfortable as the name with her name Susie Sue, because like I'm literally part Sue, and it's not that like I'm like, oh, you shouldn't necessarily have made that your name. Like, it's just weird, you know, like to see it and like she's not Sue and she's in England, and I'm like, I'm not like mad about it or like trying to call her out or but it's like it's uncomfortable, you know.
It is kind of funny, things that had names a couple decades ago that would be considered problematic now, or even shows that aired
a couple decades ago. One of those borderline things, right? Like, nobody's going out, and I mean, actually, people might be, for all I know. I'm not aware of all the discourse on Indigenous channels, but like, there's like the Chief Grand Cherokee, you know, and like all kinds of things are named after Indigenous stuff, especially like regions and cities and like provinces and territories. But like,
yeah, because like we have a football team, the Washington Redskins, and that's always been a
That's a lot different than like, say, how Canada actually was an Indigenous word, and how Toronto comes from Tacaranto. So like that's a lot different than just like literally the color of somebody's skins, right?
Yeah, and their like logo is like this, that stereotypical Indian head with the feather, and it's been a sticking point for a long, long, long time in this country.
That's another word that makes me uncomfortable is Indian. Anytime I hear it, I'm always like a little bit, I'm like, are you actually talking about India? Yeah. Are you talking about Indigenous people? Like, what's going on here, bud?
I know.
You know, like, and if it's an Indigenous person saying Indian, I ain't ever gonna say shit. But it's just another one of those things that always makes me like purse my lips and just like really listen closely to what the person's gonna say next.
Me too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But sometimes, anyways, please continue about like the music that you used to listen to.
So yeah, those are the things I kind of found, and then I found out that you know, Sully Erna from Godsmack, and then I got really interested, and this has even continued in like well into now. I always love finding bands that play like modern rock or metal music, but they draw from like they are actual practitioners instead of just drawing from occult lore, you know what
so,
I mean?
Like, actually, one thing that I have learned is that most musicians who practice magic and have it in their associative imagery actually fucking do, because it's how they got like big. Honest to God, like that's a real big secret I know about the music industry, because like I know a lot of people who kind of like fuck with it a little bit, and a lot of those people who even don't seem like they're casting magic or working magic or know it, they fucking doing it. That's exactly what they're doing. Every in any instance where it kind of looks like it is, it probably almost always is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like I would say that the modern metal band that has had the most influence in my witchcraft and in my life was this band called Huntress.
They're pretty rad.
Yeah, and I hate saying was because their lead singer, Jill Janis, took her own life a couple years ago, like 2-3 years ago. And she was very open about like her schizophrenia and she was actually she just dodged being involved in 9/11 as well. So she's like had a bunch of, you know, run-ins with death and dealing with mental health issues, and unfortunately, you know, it didn't work out for her in the end. They wrote 3 albums, and I found them by pure accident. It was me and my friend Rick. We were going to go see Dragon Force, and this band called Huntress was opening for Dragon Force, and we were both coming from work, and we were running late, and we were like, it's okay, like, usually the opening bands suck, so it's fine if we're a little late. You know, we'll get there for when Dragon Force comes on. And I regret that statement so much, because as soon as we walk into the venue, I hear, "Let the witches in." That's the lyric of, that's the line in the song. And it's like this like high-pitched like thrash metal scream from her. And I was like, excuse you? I'm here. Hello. We've arrived. And I was blown away. The song was called Eight of Swords, and it was all about the tarot meaning and imagery behind the Eight of Swords. And I was like, I need to pick up their album. And so I did, and I picked up a poster, and I had it sucked because there was only that. It was the end of that song that we caught, and like they've only played like 1 or 2 more songs, and I was really upset. I was like, I wish we would have got here earlier. And I went up and I bought the CD, and I had the poster signed by the whole band except Jill. She was the only one I couldn't find that day. And so I have the whole band, like they signed it and stuff. And she actually she is a practicing, she's still here, whatever. She's a practicing witch, and she actually planned out these, something about the triad of the moon and the way it falls in the particular years that they release the albums. It's this whole big thing. But she based the release and writing of the albums all based off of this astrological movement with the moon. And all of her songs were just rooted in like witchcraft and occultism and mysticism. And it was just, I feel like, I don't know, if I could say, like, if I had something that was my gospel, it would be that. It would be all 3 Huntress albums. They were all just so amazing. And she also had a witchy jewelry thing on the side, too. And then, and I never got to see them live, either, other than just those couple, like, songs that they played. Because they were, again, at another, like, metal festival that I went to. And again, we were running late, and they were like literally the first band to go on at like noon or some like really early time, and we missed them. And I was like, "Fuck!" And then it happened that, you know, she passed, and never. I was just, it had just such a deep impact on me. Just those 3 albums, and just that band in general. And she was just an amazing, amazing force. I actually like include her in, you know, the Mighty Dead. I name her by name. I do my offerings.
I was gonna say it sounds like she's one of your spiritual ancestors.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's really cool. I mean, to find a connection like that through music, but I think, you know, in large, that's kind of, I think that's what music is supposed to do, especially when it's a mystic or a witch or an occultist making music. I mean, in lore, you know, music itself is an act of magic many times throughout folklore and mythology. I mean, and it, you know, all the more for somebody who understands that, you know, words and intention and feelings, you know, have weight and power, you know, and then to sing them, you know, is to sing a certain energy into existence, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get it. I get your connection.
Yeah, I feel like I connected with that more than any, like, meditation track I've listened to, or even a super pagan, like, the more folksy kind of songs, you know? We tend to kind of flock to those, but those three, like, something about, like, thrash metal, about written by a witch, it got me.
So I'm probably gonna jump in here and say that, like, I've had really atypical music tastes over the years, and like everything about me is atypical, and I kind of like don't fit the norm, so wowee, my music's not gonna be any fucking different, is it? Mm-hmm. And so while I don't necessarily like I had a little bit of time where, you know, when I was listening Down at the Crossroad a lot, I was really getting into, like, specifically, like, pagan music, you know, because it really does kind of hold a fucking good vibe about it, right?
Yeah.
But all that really did was, I mean, not to say that I didn't view music in this way before, but it kind of got me more into the process of utilizing it as like a constant backdrop for feeling a metric of myself. So like, let me break it down like this. I always have music playing in my head. It's constant. It's always. And the only way to not have it there is to have it playing, right? So mm-hmm. if I can hear it, my mind silences and listens to it, and I feel what that music's going with, right? So mm-hmm. I don't need music to be written by somebody who necessarily understands ritual or spellcraft in mm-hmm. explicitly those terms, because mm-hmm. what they're doing is enacting the exact same action in the exact same result, which is the evocation of an emotion and the strong imagery. Like, one of the most magically invoking tracks that I know of for a metal band is probably not even done by like occultists, you know? And I do know, like, straight up really good magicians, like my friend Namasini, who you might have heard the intro to the episode from. They literally make every single song that they do an individual spell for a very specific reason or focus, right? And I've kind of really started to, like, grok that language. So when I'm feeling a certain way, I'll hear a certain song, and I know what that song relates to, what the energies and the currents of it are. And when I'm focusing in on something, I can literally use magic as a means of divining stuff, right? So like, I'll have friends talking to me, and like the vibes of what they're saying will actually change the music that's going on in me, because it's like a reaction to my external stimulus. So like, maybe I'm listening to something that represents something on a very specific frequency. I know that sounds incredibly vague, but I can like pick up that song, and if it's from someone I know, I can like go to that person and be like, yo, what was this song about? And they can be like, oh, it's for this, you know, and like tell me the exact spell function behind it. And it's been a neat process of feedback, because I can like get into states where I start enacting a magically thinking process just by the evocation of like magic and emotion. Right. I know this sounds really pseudo intellectual almost, but I assure you this has like been something I've really been experimenting a lot with lately, and it's had a great deal of effect. Like, I mean, I was always listening to music for meditation and spiritual exploration, like ever since I was a kid, and like, not gonna lie, it's fucking like started with anime music, like listening to like outlaw star music, you know, like in Japanese, or Inuyasha music, you know, like, or even
actually
like,
speaking of Inuyasha, I never watched it before, and a couple
weeks, yeah, you started it,
yeah, like a month ago I started with Joyce. We kind of paused, but I kind of want to pick it back up, because the music in that is very good. I was really taken aback by how good
it was.
Life
hack, if you don't want to hear him yell Windscar and swing like a bloated fucking sword for 100 episodes, you could just like listen to that music on YouTube.
Oh, but I actually did like the plot of the show too. It was pretty cool. Okay. I was into that too, but I was just like, damn, this music.
Yasha, it's just like I watched it at F10, and like it's admittedly a bit of a repetitive anime. You know, if you think it's not a repetitive anime, I don't.
Oh, I definitely.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's definitely something I can just be high as hell and just veg.
Just watch it, just like smashing some fucking bug demon thing, and you're like, all right.
Yep. Exactly. Sometimes I like shows I don't have to think about.
Yeah, or someone's getting like choked out by somebody else's hair and you're like, hot.
Yep, exactly.
But yeah, like I definitely would listen to like Inuyasha music as a kid, right? And then it kind of led me into that early LimeWire period when I was looking for all kinds of different like chakra music for
me. I hear you laughing.
Like, I'm not fucking kidding. I was like, when I was 11, 12, 13, actually not 11, it was like 12 to 13 was when I was doing this. I was like studying Kundalini meditation and pirating music online like a little fucking millennial, right? Because that's what you did when you were 13 and you were a millennial.
And you had the internet.
You stole music over either Napster or LimeWire or something else.
Or BearShare.
Like what point you were alive. Or like even BitTorrent. Like that came later, right? And you like listen to some fucking anime music, right? Most of us did those things.
I heard so, Scott like, giggling. I was just laughing. I was like, what have you been up to?
When you said LimeWire, a chill went through my body. And I remember I lost my I had one of those Apple, you know those tiny little square, they were like a
MP3. Oh yeah, the shuffles. Sort of thing.
Yeah, I had one and LimeWire killed it. Because everything became corrupted or whatever.
Oh, that sucks.
And I remember, like, it gave me, like, huge shivers.
Like, almost PTSD. Yeah.
My friend, actually, I'm not kidding you, he was a computer genius. He took an old picture, like those iPods back when they had like the spin wheels still, and they only had like color photo iPods. He hacked one by like wiping it and putting Linux on it and like made it so we could watch videos that he pirated illegally at lunch break. And then he had it, I'm not making this up, he had it hooked up to a binder he had, where he put car stereo speakers in it, and he carried a fucking pocket battery and amp with him, and just in his cargo pockets. I'm not kidding. This guy was wild.
He was living in like 30-30.
he was like cyberpunk, like way ahead of cyberpunk.
Right.
Yeah, actually, very very cool guy. I wish I could get back in touch with him. I went to high school with him back in like Grand Forks, and he moved off to Australia when he was 18 and didn't graduate, and ended up working as a chef and raising some kids, as you do.
Yeah, as one does.
Yeah, but like, yeah, I that was the thing, you know, when you're a teenager and you're getting your MP3, maybe it's like your shitty iRiver or whatever
SanDisk.
I had
a 1 gig SanDisk initially.
Yeah, I'm sure that people also had like Toshibas and Samsungs. I had like, I did have a SanDisk too. It was like the ClipZip.
Honestly, it did. I think there was a clip on the back, but like there was this one I had. It legit
it's like a tiny square. It's like an inch by inch. It's like fucking this smaller than your thumb.
I had this one like cylindrical one once. It was really weird. I don't even know what brand it was, and it literally looked like a tampon. It was just the weirdest looking like music player.
And then all of a sudden, like, iPod Touch came out.
Oh, and everyone lost their collective minds.
Young 20s. And I actually bought my first iPod Touch secondhand for, like, $125, which was, like, pretty fucking good deal for how new it was, because the guy had upgraded to, like, a phone after later on.
I was too cool to buy an Apple product at that time.
I mean...
That's what I thought.
I didn't give a fuck about what was cool or what was not. I took one look at that thing, realized that I could literally utilize a web browser on it, and then it was a pocket computer with limited functionality, and I lost it. I could like literally just like reanimate on this, or not anime, manga on this thing like that just fit in my pocket. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, It was a pocket computer, and I recognized that the second that I saw it. And to some people, it's still just like, they think it's just like a phone. But it's like, man, your phone is like more advanced than the spaceship we put on the moon. So I hope you understand what you're just casually carrying and sometimes juggling carelessly like I do.
That's just sad because it just, this all just makes me remember all the horrible experiences I had with all of my Apple products as a teenager, because my the touch thingy that came out, keeping in mind all of my Apple products came from my aunt, because my family, you know, we didn't have
secondhand,
we couldn't afford it.
Secondhand Apple products are the worst.
Yeah, and like, so with the iPod Touch that got stolen,
you know,
by one of my friend, I think from a friend's sibling, I don't know.
Damn.
A significant majority of everything in my life is secondhand.
Yeah.
Like, I have to like think of the things individually that I didn't get secondhand. Like my dresser and makeup table. And my controller for my PlayStation. And my PlayStation, yeah. That's probably about it.
Yeah, I think for, honestly, when it comes
to clothes, obviously.
Yeah, for me, when it comes to furniture, I almost exclusively go secondhand. Unless it's like a desk.
Even
it really depends.
Though, like, this is a secondhand laptop. Like, my phone's refurbished, you know? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, for tech,
but
I
like,
usually don't.
Go ahead.
I'm just saying, for tech, I usually don't do secondhand, but that just means I usually have the funds to do it, so it's just a different situation.
Legit. But to, like, dive back to kind of the episode, like, yeah, I don't know, I feel like the means that we listen to music on kind of, like, really shaped the nature of what we were listening to, because, like, when I was young, even when I was making mixtapes, right, you still were limited by what was on
the radio,
like radio or the tapes you had, you know. And when you got onto your computer and you could finally start doing burning CDs and doing your own like custom mixes, it became like extremely dependent on like what files you could get, what the legalities of your area were, and like a lot of different things. And
how
now,
many
like,
CDs you could fit in your cargo shorts?
Yeah,
all
and I
very
really think that
real
like,
questions.
Oh my god, and like those big fat CD case carriers,
yeah,
that like you think are good, but then like inadvertently end up like scratching your entire collection of like 60 CDs and you're fucking screaming. Yeah, we take for granted right now how much of a golden age of music we really live in. Like,
really,
I have Bluetooth devices, and this set of headphones I have right now are pushing 4 years alive. That is the longest headset I have ever had for anything ever. The audio cable always breaks on it beforehand, but because it's got like a removable audio port, like I can just plug in via the cable, it pulls out in case of, instead of wrecking, right? And the Bluetooth is pretty solid. It's still kicking after 3.5 years. So like, I don't know. I don't really have to struggle around cords anymore. I don't have to like worry too much about like where I'm going to download my music from. Like if I really want to steal it, I can steal it. It's pretty easy to just stream it, especially if you can like steal somebody's Spotify premium. I mean,
borrow,
you know, pitch for a home thing, whatever, you know. Or like watch YouTube with ad blocker on, like a lot of people do, you know. Like there's shit people got. And then,
yeah,
like,
I watch YouTube with ad blocker on,
not even
cause...
just that, but like, I'm not gonna lie, SoundCloud is fucking where it's at. Like if you're somebody who's at all into like new music that's up and coming, or like artists who are wanting to like push the bounds of what's getting played, and like people are literally inventing genres on there. It is wild and wonderful. Like I bet y'all don't even know what Witch House sounds like.
No, I don't.
There's certain Witch House I enjoy. Certain.
Okay.
There's Witch House?
Actually, yeah, I have a friend who was like involved in like making the genre, like defining it.
I feel like I've been living under a rock.
Oh my god.
But I didn't
Witch
know
House
about this.
Witch House is like a combination. It feels like a combination between like trance and wave.
Okay, you know? I'm gonna need some links when this is.
I mean, I'll just send you my friend's Namasani thing, and I'll link you a whole bunch of things on their SoundCloud. But yeah, no, like
Scott, send me your witch house too. I want to be in the know.
Yeah, and like a lot of people who are producing on SoundCloud are like modern magicians who like write most of their songs like their spells, you know.
And I love electronic music. Not all genres, but I am a huge.
You're not gonna find the good shit on Spotify, at least not until the artist like blows up. Like my friend's video on YouTube right now is pushing 700,000, and it still shows it's like only been out for about 3 months, which is like fucking ludicrous. The other videos on the channel have been like that are around that view count have been out for like usually at least a year to four or five, and like to be there in 3 months is like bonkers. So like they're doing pretty fucking good, and you can blow up on YouTube if you're a small musician. It's just a matter of like networks and who you know, and like I can't really say what makes it happen because I'm not like a musician on that way. Like I make music on my own for like fun and shit. Like I used to play alto sax and I like to sing, but like I'm not a producer and I'm not gonna pretend to be or like give you a speech like I am, you know. But like yeah, you can like really get some good original music on those platforms.
Yeah, but SoundCloud is not good for podcasts though. As I've determined.
Yeah, not getting views on that, are ya?
It wasn't so much like we got one person say something, but mostly it's just bot accounts going, nice track, also, hit like, me up.
On a world where you have limited capacity on what you install and use on your phone, just in like general attention value, SoundCloud gets looked over a little bit because you can just like play it through Chrome and then just minimize Chrome and it plays. You don't necessarily need SoundCloud to interact with it, so people don't necessarily like go for it all the time, and most people already got Spotify anyways, so like if you're gonna play a podcast, just bust open Spotify, you know.
Exactly.
But yeah, like I don't know, magic and music like have always kind of been naturally tied to me together. Like I almost never even like meditate silently. I've always got like something in the background or like I don't know, some kind of feeling in me that ties to a song somewhere, you know?
Yeah. Actually got inspiration to sometimes I'll use soft music, whatever, for meditative space. Sometimes I'll use like something hard, like hard rock or metal, and
oh fuck yeah.
Yeah, some people feel like, oh, how can you, you know, how could you meditate to that? How could you relax to that? And I'm like, it relaxes me. And one of the band members, it's the drummer of this band, Kitty, that I like, she actually does a heavy metal yoga class, which Sick. Sounds something like, I think that's the only instance in which I consider doing yoga.
Also, like, I really want to smash the idea that only like pagan sounding music is magical, like that's very much right, a stereotype that a lot of people hold in their head. Like I will meditate to like literally anything, rap even, aside from actually like country, because I fucking hate country. No offense to everybody, I like certain country, like maybe a couple artists I'm sure you could convince me are all right. I like
you, Scott. The song, do you like country
roads, you know, the one that takes me home, West Virginia.
Do you like, I think, like for me personally, it depends on the song. It's not like, I don't like it as a genre. It's like a song-by-song basis.
I guess I'm the same way. Like, yeah. I feel like I connect to it better, like, if I'm, okay.
Drunk?
It's more like nostalgia. No, it's just nostalgia. Like, if I'm going camping, I connect to particular songs. Believe it or not, like, you know, like, I have a lot of family from West Virginia, like, they were Appalachian, you know, like, so I connect to that song in that way.
I mean, that's a ballin' fucking country song, though.
Yeah.
I, so, like, we're to pick the best song out of all of country, it's definitely that one.
Right. you know, so like, I mean, I, you know, I love listening to that while I'm heading to the campground, and, you know, the trees are like whizzing by you as you're going down like this kind of long, you know, stretch of a highway, you know, like there's something about it that very...
Yeah, you feel like you're in a movie from the 50s and...
Yeah, you know, it's very nature, you know. Do I like, I guess no. I mean, overall, no, I'm not a country person.
I'll tell you,
I don't...
You know when I stopped listening to Gaga? Joanne.
The country.
Oh, I didn't really listen.
I was out. I heard that and I was like,
I don't even think I've even heard that album.
No.
I think I ignored it.
I think two or one or two songs from Chromatica. I haven't listened to the whole thing yet.
Look, I'm not gonna lie. My friend said it best. Gaga's in her sunlight years, and I know people are gonna scream at me for saying that. I would get canceled if we were big enough. Like, people would like threaten my house, but it's true. Like, the best song.
There was so much build up, and then you were like, "It's true."
But like, the best songs on the album are the collabs. Like the one with Blackpink, Sour Candy is great. Rain on Me is great.
Actually, I think you might be right.
Is actually not bad. The one where she's doing it with like John Lennon, Piano Man,
Elton John,
Rocket Man, Elton John. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like,
Now that you mention it, because I've listened to Chromatica a couple times, I'm like, this is really good. I really like this because it's very electronic dance music, and I'm like, yeah, I like that. But I don't like to dance. I don't like to dance, but I like that kind of music.
Well, I've never particularly. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Go for it.
I never particularly liked Lady Gaga's choreography.
Really?
I mean, some of it. I guess some of it seems a little too. Like, I don't know. I just didn't. I don't know. Some of it I don't like. Some of it I do. But it's more the music for me, like Stupid Love from Chromatica. It actually helped me out of an episode relatively recently, you know, in the last couple weeks or whatever, or last month or however long it's been out.
However,
when it first came out.
It's been 84 years.
It's not a bad song. It's definitely, like, I actually think it's a pretty all right album. Like, it's one of the better things she's done overall. But, like, you can hear that she's kind of doing that thing as an artist where she's, like, retreading ground, you know? Like, if you want to look at her evolution, like, the Fame Monster was, like, she was doing some pretty unique things out there. Then she jumps to, like, art pop later on, and art pop, I mean, of course there's Born This Way in between, right? Born This Way was like fucking pumping, but like,
well, that was like the gay national anthem or something like that.
If I could compare Gaga to Tool, this might make a little bit more sense. I would liken the Fame Monster to Anima, or not Fame Monster, sorry, Born This Way to Anima. It's fucking huge. It's a huge album, right? And then after that is Art Pop, which is like Lateralis. It's the really experimental out there, but really fucking good. Like, I ate Art Pop up. I played Art Pop fucking over 100 times. It was good. There's a couple shit songs on there that you could tell she had to do because of the label, or maybe she also apparently, I don't know, maybe she likes being that vain to make a song where she brags about being rich and blonde as if that isn't completely fucking tone deaf, but whatever. I generally do think that's something that is often required by artists by the label, you know?
That's how I felt, like, about Macklemore's third album.
I mean, like, you gotta understand, here's the thing, like, if you don't get signed as an artist for a distribution deal, which means that, like, you make music, give them tracks, and they distribute what they like, and, like, you get money back, because, like, a lot of producers do that, right? I'm pretty sure, like, Flume does that, for example. But if you do what, say, like, Halsey did, where she signs a label, right? Or what Poppy does, where they sign to a label. You have to acquiesce. You are contractually bound to give them certain songs they want out of the album, right? So, like, if you go and listen, like, have you listened to Poppy at all?
I don't think so.
They're a non-binary artist who blends pop and metal.
I think Katie told them, and I think you did too. I actually, I saw them on, I think they got mentioned in Revolver. They get a lot of talk in Revolver, so I'm going to check them out.
So, like, if for by comparison, in one of their first albums, which they were signed to a record for, I'm pretty sure, there's a song where it's, like, singing about being blonde and perfect and, like, can't help that blonde is perfect. And that's, like, the same shitty Hollywood fake crap substance that they churn out every day, every year, you know? And, like, it's antithetical to what the message of all the other music is. Like, if you look at what Poppy did, they ditched their pop label as soon as they could and actually signed their most recent record with Sumerian Records. Do you know who that is? That's a good
choice. Yeah, they're big in the hardcore metal scene.
Yeah, so they went from being like signed as a huge pop star label and like singing songs with Grimes to like fucking throwing down with Marilyn Manson on Sumerian Records. Not that like I don't think Marilyn Manson isn't problematic, because he is, but like
kind of a garbage human being, but I still like his music. Shit.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
you're free to, but like, you know, like Poppy ended up like jumping onto that record and doing that stuff because they were restricting them as an artist, and like in their newer album they literally say you can be who you want to be, you know, and like it's a lot about like
I really like Baby Metal too, that
Baby Metal,
yeah, they're Japanese.
Mm-hmm.
They're like a Japanese.
Oh, it's that old girl band, yeah.
Yeah, like super. Me and Joyce actually saw them live. Yeah. I heard they were fucking wild. They toured with Rob Zombie. That's fucking huge.
It was actually really cool because Rob Zombie was like telling people off on social media, like other big bands who were like trying to make fun of him for like touring with them, and he was like, these women are like doing stuff that you can't. That's what pretty much he was like coming at them, and it was hilarious.
Those girls do not stop fucking moving the entire time. I've seen it firsthand.
That's what they, they just go.
And their set was pretty short. Like I feel like most headliner bands, I guess, like most American headliner bands will usually play like an hour set, and then depending on your venue, then you'll get like an encore, which could be another 10 to 15 minutes, depending. With Baby Metal, I can't remember if there was an opening act. I don't know, I can't remember. But like from the time that they went on the stage, it was like 30 minutes. It was like, it was the quickest I've ever been out of a show, and like no encore or anything, but that was the most intense like 30 to 45 minutes of that I've ever seen. Huh?
Who the fuck does an encore?
Some bands do encore. It's actually kind of popular.
No, but like the audience. What audiences don't ask for an encore?
Oh, you're saying what don't? Oh, no. It's
like a band will always play an encore if they're called for it. What? No. Really?
Nightwish does not do an encore. They scream, they scream, and they don't do it.
Well, they can go to hell.
I still love them. I respect them. It's their choice, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. But they've been that way from the beginning, though. Like, that's been a thing that they've established. I've noticed it with European bands. A lot of European bands, especially in that, like, goth, melodic metal, I guess, whatever that category would be, a lot of them don't do an encore.
It almost seems like it's to present like an air of mystery. It's almost it almost seems like a theatrical almost feeling.
Yeah. And then you have Evanescence, which continues to disappoint me because their encore is always My Immortal, and I'm like, no, you don't do that, stop doing that.
Their encore is Going Under, the only song that people really know.
I feel like they could end with Bring Me to Life, but they usually put that in the middle and go, but I think it should be Going Under
that people know.
Yeah, Bring Me to Life is their big one.
Yeah, you don't want to put your biggest song on encore, but
you want to put like a good one. Like, especially, yeah, like, I feel like you want to end with a hard hitter. That's what it is. You want to end with an iconic hard hitter that everybody can just go under, nuts to.
That would be an amazing.
That would be a good one.
An amazing fucking encore if I was Evanescence.
Yeah.
Man, I just remembered something. I'm glad we're talking about Evanescence because somehow it reminded me of it.
Oh, I still love them dearly. I don't want that to be on record. I'm still obsessed with them. I still love them.
Fun fact, I do a lot of bath meditation. I've mentioned it before. And I play music while I do that. And sometimes while I want to be cheesy, I will like literally put on Going Under and like go under the water at the same time.
Like in the music video?
I haven't seen the music video, to be absolutely
honest. That might have been the Bring Me to Life music video. There's like a bathtub scene. Yeah. What were you saying, Scott?
So the new The Birthday Massacre album. They're
love them.
Got a bubblegum goth industrial sort of rock band.
And, they're great.
One of the songs on their new album, it's called Foresight, I believe. Mm. Something like that. I'm actually trying to look it up on my other computer. They actually quote as above, so below,
yeah,
as within, so without. And I remember when the CD finally dropped, I actually went to the park. It was like a beautiful day, and I was listening to like witchy. I was reading a witchy book. I was reading Matt Warren's book, and in the park, and I was listening to that song, and it just felt so witchy.
Oh yeah, their shit is, especially lately, and this album and then the one they did right before this, very witchy. I like the direction that.
Yeah, me too.
Another one that I'm surprised I did not blurt out initially, Twin Temple. They are a satanic doo-wop band and they are fucking amazing.
That's so cool.
I love them. I'm telling you, just play it. Pour a glass of wine, light a cigar, and you're just gonna feel fancy the whole time you're listening to it. It just, they're so good.
You're gonna live deliciously.
You will live deliciously. Oh, I'm telling you, just it's sexy. It's just sexy to listen to, and that's how I would describe it.
You know, and I must say though, like as far as like both of your experience, believe it now, it might be because of my. I don't really like loud noises. I have a thing with loud noises. I'm not much of a metalhead. I don't mind like goth industrial music or, you know, kind of like I said, like The Birthday Massacre or Evanescence, that kind of stuff, but not much of a metal person.
So I'll take Darian to all the metal shows that he wants to go to.
Yeah, that's okay. Darian's thing. I really like instrumental. I like ambient. I like folk music, like traditional sounds and stuff like that. I'm listening to a band right now, pretty much on repeat. They're called Novem 3. It's like starts like November but 3. It's a weird name, but they're really, really, really
good. It's like you don't want to say good because it just undermines.
I was like literally almost in tears, like in a happy way and in a very like serene way, because like I'm just like my aesthetic, like they have a song called Under the Hemlock, and it's completely instrumental, and then they have a song called Ashes, which I've been listening to, which is really helping me, because everything going on right now in the world, talking about, you know, Black Lives Matter and police brutality police murdering innocent Black people and everything. There's a song called Ashes, and the band is two Nordic white men. I don't know if they're American or if they are from a Nordic country, but they themselves are Nordic looking. And the song talks about restoring honor to your family from your ancestors' past mistakes. And it really kind of, this song, I really did cry listening to it, because I really did, you know, sometimes it can be kind of that lonely walk, at least in my experience, like, you know, black sheep of the family, you know, you're breaking generational curses and, You know, you're the one that's like breaking the cycles, you know, more actively. And, you know, like you sometimes, like for me, I know, like I have family that, you know, they're like, they're just open-minded enough, you know, and I'm kind of like, no, you have to kind of do more, you know, you have to be anti-racist. It's not enough to be, you know, and they're like, you're too much, you know, and I'm like, no, you're not enough, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm really peaceful. Like I don't get in their face. I don't yell. I don't scream. I find that doesn't work, but you know, I do try to be, you know, I try to break, you know, those ancient lineal curses, you know, and I have a pretty big stain on my family, which we've talked about before. What my grandfather as a police officer did during Jim Crow. And, you know, I actively tried to, you know, whatever. So that song really was healing for me. And once again, it's like an act of devotion, kind of like an act of healing for my ancestors to kind of remove, you know, the stain of what happened in life, you know. So this band, yeah, Novem 3, they're really great. And I mean, other than that too, all their lyrics are very occult. Like, I mean, even in their like if you go on their YouTube, they'll have like altars set up while they're playing their music and stuff. Like they'll have like a goat skull and runes and stuff, and it's like sometimes it's very tradcraft, and then other times it seems very Asatru. So I'm not exactly sure where they land. But it kind of seems like they're that tradcraft that kind of leans heavy into the Nordic, which is a thing. A lot of tradcraft is influenced by Nordic culture, so. But it's like this great folk band that I'm just like in love. But I mean, even more so, like I remember early on, like one of my first bands that I ever really got into, they're not even really a band. They're ambient music. They're called Nox Arcana. They're really like meant for Halloween.
Oh yeah. Stuff. No, my friend loves Nox Arcana. I'm going to Google it, which one it was, but there's a specific song that he used to always play that just sticks out in my mind so much.
I'm wondering if it's, let me know what it is. I don't want to say anything because I want to know.
No, go ahead and guess it.
Is it the one, Blood of Angels? Is that it?
Hang on. There's a big fucking spider climbing up my chair and I need to tell it to fuck the fuck off.
Yeah, you do.
Get off. Go. Get off, you fucking bastard. Don't you dare climb up at me. So look, I love all the things on the earth. You climb on me, you are motherfucking dead.
I hear that.
Yeah, I'm learning how to make peace with bees, but I haven't been able to extend that same level of compassion yet to the wasps that seem to like my flowers. I'm just like, we're not friends, and I run inside.
All right, well, I'm just gonna fucking stand over here. Let's just keep talking.
But Nox Arcana, I mean, they really kind of opened up. Like, I remember when I first started listening to them, I actually on a mediumistic level, I got overwhelmed. Because their music suddenly was able to open kind of the gates of the underworld for me, in a based on tune and mood and state of mind, and it was almost like too much. I, you know, even my mom was like, "Are you like?" I remember I walked downstairs and she was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like,
"There's a moth spinning circles in front of me. What the fuck is going on?"
They attracted to you.
I'm away from my computer right now. It's weird. Those are two very important things in the DKMU shit. Go ahead and cut this out if you want. But like the spider is like the sacred animal, if you will, of the linking sigil. And the moths are incredibly important too. We almost joke about it being a moth cult. Actually, we say moth cult very often. Get off my chair, you motherfucker.
But
back down, and if it comes up, I'm just gonna kill it. You have been fucking warned. Sorry.
But yeah, Nox Arcana was like a really big one, like early on for me.
What's that one that sounds like it's a music box playing?
Oh, it's literally called the. Oh my god, is it Calops or Celops, whatever? No, it's literally like
Twilight or something to do with a maze or something.
I don't have the answer, but there is another artist that comes to mind that was a big influence on my magic and craft and stuff. It's more of a contemporary artist, I guess, but York.
Pandora's Music Box.
Oh my god, I love York. Yeah. I love York so much.
Everything she does is just beautiful.
One of her songs actually always reminds me of an acid trip I had, because I did acid this one time with my friends, and right as I was peeking, I was looking at the clouds, that thing that I was describing where, like, I pick up on the energy of a song when I'm in a certain state. My brain started playing Hidden Space by Bjork as I was looking at the clouds and peeking on acid, and, like, wow. Oh my god, I love Bjork.
Yeah, I would, York is on my list of artists that I would pay a pretty penny to see live.
Bjork has a lot, from my understanding. I never really listened to Bjork, not for a lack of wanting, I just never did for whatever reason.
I recommend
it. But there's, from what I understand, there's a lot of occult and mystical symbolism in Bjork's music.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, it's intentional, completely intentional.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something that Scott was saying that they do with like listening to music for like ancestral stuff, I've been experimenting with a little bit as well lately. Like, I don't really have many connections to like indigenous culture, so I like get a listen to modern artists these days, and it's like pretty rad. It's not a lot, but it's something. You know, I listen to a lot of A Tribe Called Red. They're really fucking good.
Mm.
Hang on, just me. Passing. Anyways, I listen to a lot of Tribe Called Red. They're really fucking good. Snotty Nose Rez Kids is really good as well. There's not a lot of others that have like really grabbed me hard yet, but I'm listening, you know. And out of A Tribe Called Red specifically, it's the We Are the Hallucination album. Like, if you want to listen to anything from them, just like put that album on start to finish. It is fucking wondrous. Like when people listen to them, they think of because like they are a fairly well-known band, because not a lot of people had like the indigenous singers in it, like via Northern Cree singers in certain songs and stuff. And like when they did, they got a lot of attention for that. But then I feel like the tragedy of that is that like people kind of pigeonhole their music, and they're like, okay, well, it's specifically just this one thing. And it's like, no, they do a lot more. And like if you actually like listen to that album specifically, it like lays out a whole lot of shit and a whole lot of different styles, and it's just like, go listen to that album. It's 10 out of 10, one of my favorite ones ever, and gives me a lot of feels. Like the song How I Feel is just oof.
We have, go ahead, like,
and listen to that one.
We have like dropped so many like names and albums and shit. I'm gonna have a hell of a time going through this.
You like, don't necessarily have to give notes on all of them,
and maybe just the main ones, like the big ones that we talk about.
Another big one for me on metal specifically is Gojira, and they are a occult band.
I never really gave them a listen.
Oh my fuck, Jay, they are so good. Listen to, if you can, my favorite album by them is Way of the All Flesh, which is like incredibly occult. They have a song called The Art of Dying, which is like literally like learning to accept death. They have a song called Esoteric Surgery, and like the chorus is your illness can be healed, the cell regenerates, and like talks about like doing magic to help boost your healing and shit, you know? Although they say all illness can be healed, and I'm pretty sure not all illness can be healed, but like whatever.
I recently got into Mastodon a little bit. I never really paid that much attention.
Sick. They are fucking sick. God, I listen to too much music.
There's no such thing as too much music.
My friend, I actually can't actually remember a fraction of the music I have listened to. I can't even remember 10% of the artists I have actually enjoy at any point in time without like having a file bank in front of me, because there's just too much. Way too much.
What about you, Scott? What's your other like? What are maybe like some obscure ones that people might not know?
Well, like I said, there was the November 3. I will say this. So there is another folk musician that I listen to. Let me get her name. Sybil something. She has this song called I Lost Something in the Hills. And the entire song is absolutely, her name is Sybil Bayer. And she absolutely knew something about something. She talks about like she clearly talks about the hills as if the hills were a liminal space. She alludes to kind of the hills as being something other than here, and she talks about going west, the hills in the west, which you know is the gates of the dead in Western cult and Western magic. You know, she talks about certain fairy trees. I mean, she's definitely like talking about something, you know what I'm saying? Like the entire thing, you can tell. Like, she's also like one of the lines that always really and it's not even necessarily magical, it's just very animist. She says some kids grew up in cities and some grew up in declivities, and declivities are, you know, pretty much wooded or like sort of like a hollow or, you know, what have you. You know, and it's you could tell that she's
aware.
So there's that song from that particular artist. I haven't listened to much else by her. The songs I have heard aren't necessarily the same. Another artist who isn't necessarily witchy, but they have, I don't know what it is, they have a quality, is a Jessica Hoop. She has a song called, what is it called? Havoc in Heaven, which she talks about the white bone demon, and she kind of talks about the bone mother, which is a very tradcrafty, very tradcrafty thing. There's a lot of her songs, you know, she talks about ghosts. She talks about, you know, she alludes to like astral projection and, you know, witches and flying and,
Oh my Man, gosh! I just thought of
Lorena McKennitt too, and of course, I know everyone knows Lorena McKennitt, but I know it's kind of used. But like, I have a soft spot, a particular soft spot for Lorena McKennitt because,
well, how could you not?
she is so well spoken. She is such a gentle woman, and she is so just pleasant to listen to talk, not just her music. Like she made a whole post just sitting, I guess, in her studio or what have you, or maybe it was her home, I don't know. And it was this beautiful piano, but she went on to talk about social justice and, you know, why we should be celebrating and acknowledging generational pain in Black communities. And it was just so, you know, it was just so refreshing. But she said it with such elegance and such she's just so educated, but she kind of was just like, and she said it, how do I put this, kind of like a Maggie Smith, like if you can imagine Maggie Smith talking about social justice, that's how she, you know. So it was like, you know, she basically was like, if you want to try to argue with me, you can, bitch, but I'll play you in a very elegant way.
Right.
You know, so like, I just love who she is. I love how much she knows about folklore and mythology and how she connects to music. She talks about music like it's her religion. And I don't have an ounce of musical talent in my body, but I can empathize with people really well. So when people experience something like that, I can experience it as if it's myself, you know.
Mm.
And I get what she's saying, you know. And I love when people are passionate about something like that. And it could be anything, whether it's music or art, where, you know, visual art, you know, painting or what have you. You know, I just like to see people passionate and spiritually connected to a hobby or, you know, whatever, you know. So that's why I have a particular like of Lorena McKenna as kind of, you know, everyone's like, we know, you know.
Yeah.
I realized an opinion that might get me canceled.
Okay.
So I think that people who do like really heavy devotional work with gods and mythology are most often bottoms.
Okay.
No, not as funny as outrageous as I thought it was going to be.
I mean,
I don't know what
every
the logic
person
is.
I know who works gods is a fucking bottom, though. That's the logic. I'm just thinking about it. Like, everybody I really know who does devotional shit with gods, they're absolute bottoms. Like, oh.
Darian actually does more god work than I do.
Oh, that is true.
I don't really do the god thing. I mean, I have my spirits, but.
Cut this out, by the way. It was just like totally a thought, but I was like, oh my god.
No, this is totally staying in.
You have me thinking.
I know, because I was waiting for like a thesis paper, like to start unraveling, I guess.
Paper, I'm just like noticing the correlation and laughing because it's like so like, oh please notice me, Zeus. Like you're giving the fucker offerings, you're like you're dressing up for it, you're like putting on specific oils and shit, like y'all are bottoming just for gods.
Yeah, I don't really I always felt awkward doing the devotional kind of stuff.
Always. Yeah, it really feels like bottoming for gods.
Oh, you know what? That sounds like a great blog entry. That's what that sounds like.
Scott, talk to me. What are you thinking about this controversial opinion?
I mean, I don't do the god thing, so I don't know, but I will say.
So in your case, it does not apply.
Like a lot of younger people, like hormonal people, who are like all about like, they have like these weird headcanons about having sex with their god and like they have like relationships with gods and stuff. So I mean, and it's like, it's these weird like ooh, you know, like weird ass. You know, cummy wummy relationship with their gods.
You said that so perfectly.
Is Zeus your fucking like what, Stan or something?
Oh, Scott, the way you ooh wooed, it was just so fucking perfect. Like, I need that as like its own independent sound clip. Like every time you text me, it goes ooh woo.
Darian would like if every time I do that to like Darian hates it, so do I, but I do it because he hates it and he's like, I don't do that.
And you're like,
Jake, do us a favor.
Yeah,
from now on when you're going through the episodes, if like you find an audio clip that's hilarious, tuck that shit away and build a soundboard.
I know, I really should start doing
like, start with the Scott ooh woo and start going from there.
Ooh woo.
Maybe just Scott's oh my god response.
No, it'll
there.
Be
oh god, ubu.
It'll be Scott's ubu, and it'll be your coughing.
Oh, I mean, my coughing is like,
it's iconic.
Is it?
Of course, it's part of the. It's the behind the scenes shit that that no one else gets to hear.
How many of those fuckers do you cut out an episode?
A good amount. That's part of the experience, the ambiance.
Y'all don't know how much Sophie is just ripping constant pipe pokes behind the scenes and just blasting smoke at the camera, and Jay's over there just like staring at it, just like pretending to wave smoke away.
Sophia slowly disappears throughout the recording.
As like,
I'm not gonna lie, there have been times where like I totally hear you do the exhale.
What do you mean?
I've heard like when you were smoking.
Yeah, you can hear your
joking there. Like, the strain in my voice of having just spoken, like, what do you mean?
Oh man.
Well, now you're gonna make me pack a toke just so I can like for honestly posterity. Smoke on track for everybody. Yeah, I mean it's legal in Canada too. This
there you go. If, like, we'll get real quiet. This is for the ASMR crowd.
All right. If you can hear that, that's me using my pill container. You know, like the ones you get from your prescriptions. I got weed in it, and I'm tapping it out. Okay, just give it a second. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I can actually.
Okay.
Oh, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Ta-da! There it is.
This weed tastes like shit.
Oh, that sucks.
It's like some old stuff I had sitting in a jar with some former resin. So like it took on the flavor a little bit, but whatever. It was just like cheapo stuff. I'm letting my other stuff cure because I just bought some. But anyways, back to the episode.
Lorena McKenna is a goddess among people, and also apparently what do we interject with if you do devotional work or bottom? I don't know. We're gonna start a survey. Should we start a survey?
Oh my god, that'd be funny.
Like a survey monkey link. I say we do it. All right, I'm gonna do it. So
watch, it comes out overwhelmingly in favor of like bottoms and switches. I told you so.
I just, it's for science. It's for science.
Posterity. Yeah.
Yes. An obvious group though that none of us mentioned, I don't think, which is a pretty modern group, is Florence and the Machine.
We could be sitting here mentioning groups forever. We didn't mention Tool.
Oh yeah, you know, I always forget about Tool. I don't know why. I like metal, but I'm not really huge into Tool.
I love Tool though. See, I love
really.
Tool.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I could. There's a lot you can do through one Tool song.
Oh well, yeah. Yeah.
Masters of the fucking 9-minute song.
Hey, listen, I'm a Tool song. Daddle-o, daddle-o,
daddle-o, daddle-o, daddle-o. Literally. Hope we don't get a copyright strike. I think we can kind of wrap this up. I would like to talk. I mean, we could do more about music in another episode. We can get into more of like maybe more educational how to incorporate it.
Maybe I could like bring in one of my friends who does music.
Yeah, or we could talk to people who actually like write music write music specifically for a ritual. So there's a whole bunch we could do on this.
Like, getting those interviews going, but we're gonna do them for reals, I promise.
We are. We're just bad at scheduling things.
We're just bad at following through on pretty much everything other than recording and releasing the podcast. And I think that anybody who's been with us long enough to this point really just can embrace that, you know?
Yeah, it's just part of the experience. You know what?
I think most of them are bad at stuff too. I bet, most of our listeners have a bajillion half-finished projects, and I'm not calling anybody out. I'm just saying,
we're just welcoming you to the family. That's
what we're doing. We all suck at following through. We could even make, a little invocation to go with that. We all suck at following through. Away.
But we are going to conclude this episode, so that is actually a thing that we're going to complete. We're going to complete this episode.
Not if I have anything to say about it.
we talked about a ton of stuff here, and
but not the riots. But we're probably not going to talk about that anytime soon or in any depth. So I don't know, because I don't think y'all need to hear about it from us. And there's a whole bunch of other people on there that you can go listen to. And it's not even our job to tell you to who go listen to. So just go Google it. Maybe listen to like some Black Panthers or something. I don't know. It's like this has been going on for a long time, and there's already been a lot of information on it. So inform yourself, please. Thank you.
Yes, do inform yourself. But no, we are going to have like a Queer Witches of Color kind of discussion. Doesn't necessarily. I imagine it would be like an all-encompassing kind of discussion.
How can you have an all-encompassing discussion though on like?
I was just what I was thinking to do would be a discussion of like, it was a workshop topic actually last year at Philly Pagan Pride, being a person of color in the pagan community is what it was. It's like the pagan experience of being a person of color, and how certain traditions are often, you know, quote unquote, not for them, especially in terms of like heathenry and Nordic kind of practices. You know, just a lot of people like gatekeeping and how it's just really fucked up, and a lot of it can really be whitewashed. So that's the kind of discussion I would like to have. And what I meant by all encompassing is that I imagine a lot of the themes that we would talk about are just interwoven parts of people's lives. You know what I mean? Like everything is one, it's a really big, complex web of issues that I think deserve to be talked about in not just one episode, but, you know, I'd always like to do a couple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm always down for picking people's brains and talking about absurdly complex issues, probably beyond the scope of what we were educated for, but let's take a shot at it anyways.
I decided to do my ending spiel as a pre-recording, so I don't have to do that every time.
Yay.
You'll hear that toward the end. So yeah, we're gonna end the episode here, and if you have any music that you create yourself, or just have artists that we should check out, because I don't know a single person that isn't always like, listen to this, because if you love music, you love sharing it with other people. Give us your recommendations for music. Let us know how you incorporate music into your ritual, and we want to hear from you, and we'll see you in the next one.
Yeah, fuck me. Bye. Up with your beats. Oh, don't forget to banish.
You can find Witches Betwixt on the big three social medias, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our handle is Witches Betwixt, all one word, on all three platforms. We all check each one, except Twitter, which is exclusively run by me, Jay, but feel free to message us on any of them, and we'll get back to you. If you want to add your post to our online community, use the hashtag WBTWXT. The links to our official Facebook group, Discord server, and website are in the show notes below.
Yeah. I'm going to say something, but before I do, I have to laugh. I fucking hawked a loogie while Scott was talking.
Oh, no.
And I thought that I was muted and I wasn't. Oh. I looked down at my horror. I'm like, just fuck.
I didn't hear anything either,
so I think we're good.
It was quick. It wasn't like a...
Okay.
I feel like such a bastard now.
It's okay. We all do gross shit when, like, other people are talking.
Okay.